Today we are going to take a break from Theorian algorithms, and I will show you a couple of applications, okay, from different fields. So I'll show you some models, and then we'll run some simulations on the computer. Okay. First example I want to show you comes from finance, and it's very basic one, very somehow old-fashioned, okay, but very relevant. Is one of the very first examples of the use of optimization in finance. Nowadays, the using of mathematical models in finance is pretty common stuff. It was not this a long time ago, and the introduction goes back to Henry Markowitz, an economist from the University of Chicago, who was actually the first to use mathematical models, and in particular optimization within a finance framework. And indeed, this was one of the main contributions he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Economics for. Okay? So somehow I will show you a variant of this original model, which goes back to 1952. And the framework is the following. You have, let's say, a certain amount of money you want to invest, and you have a number of stocks available. Okay? Stocks means titoli finanziari. Okay? And you have to decide how much of your money invest in each of them. Okay? So this is the starting point of an area, very active area, which is called portfolio selection. And in particular, we will discuss portfolio optimization. Okay? So we have, let's say, N stocks. For the sake of simplicity, let's suppose that the amount of money we have is unitary. Okay? If not, you simply divide by your stock to get the percentage. And, well, so how to invest your money? You need some info, okay? What would you like? Okay, best thing you would like to make a lot of money. You would like to have large revenues, large returns, and at the same time you would not like to risk too much. Okay? But somehow there is a trade-off between the two things. Stocks which might provide larger revenues generally are more risky. Okay? So you have to somehow balance the two. Moreover, the information is somehow not given, because suppose I invest in a stock today, I have no idea of its value, let's say, in a month. Okay? So actually, the return of a stock is a random variable. Okay? Somehow, so the revenue of the return for, let's say, for an unitary investment in stock I is a random variable. I will not go deep in the probabilistic aspects, okay? Which you don't know, But from, let's say, past experience, from past data, from series of data, you can somehow estimate the expected return, okay? The mean value of this random variable. Okay, so let's suppose this is known, this has been estimated, so we know that what you can expect is to get Ri if you invest at the end of the period, if you invest all your money in the stock I. Okay? When you have any data, anything, please just ask immediately. And so, somehow, if there were no constraint, no risk, the choice would be easier. I would take the one with the largest spread. Okay? But this is not the case because you have not just the revenue and the return, but you have some risk. A way to measure risk is given by the variance of a random variable. Okay? The variance gives you a measure of how much the variable is concentrated around its mean value. Okay? If the variance is zero, okay, the random variable takes its average value as its almost certain value. Okay? The larger the variance is, the more it's likely that the actual value will be far from the expected value. Okay? So another quantity to take care of is the variance. Okay, just to give some detail, the variance is the expected value of Ri squared minus the square of the expected value. Okay? Yes. But it doesn't mean much, okay, to us. So the point is, okay, I could know this quantity as well. Please allow me to call this CII, and you will understand why this name in a moment. And so, I have my unitary amount of money to invest. So, my choice can be represented by a variable xi, a number between 0 and 1, which tells me which part of my amount of money I will invest in stock I. Okay? So my expected revenue is given by XIRI for stock I, summing all over the stock, and taking the expected value. Okay? This is what I expect to get. Remember that the revenue is for a unitary investment, so if I get, if I invest, I take one half of a unit of investment, I will get XIRI. Okay? And the expected value is a linear function in the argument, so this is XI times the expected value of Ri. Okay? So this, we name this small, so this is what I get. Okay? It's a linear function of the expected revenues Ri. But this is what I get, but I would like to know a measure of risk for what they, for getting that. Okay? And the measure of risk is the variance of this quantity here. Okay? So the variance of this quantity here would be the variance of this. Now, the variance is defined this way. You could do all the computation. What comes in this computation into play is also, so here you will take this times this, so we, you will also have the products of two different, of the revenues of two different stocks. What comes into play in this formula, so I don't go inside probability, is the so-called covariance of two random variables. Okay? If you have Ri and Rj, their covariance is the expected value of their product minus the product of their expected values. Okay? And somehow it gives you a measure of how they change together. Okay? By definition, two random variables are independent, so there is no correlation between the two if the expected value of their product is exactly equal to the product of their expected values. Okay? So independence between two random variables means that this quantity is zero. Why did I introduce this? Because when you develop this calculation, what comes up is the following. Xi, Xj times the covariance of Ri with Rj. Okay. Not a topic for us. Okay, it comes from probability. What's the point here? And this is the reason why I call this CII, because the variance is nothing else than the covariance of a random variable with itself. What comes up here is, well, if you name this Cij, and we have a way to estimate this quantity, the variance is this quantity here, the sum over I, of the sum over j, of Cij, Xi, Xj.
Aren't we counting each variable twice?
Yes, but you're doing this when you do this computation, they come twice, and that is the result. Okay? Go back to your, if you're not convinced, go back to your probability book, and you will find exactly that the variance of a sum of random variables with linear coefficients is this quantity here. Okay? The fact that you count it twice is taken into account here. Okay?
The
Xi adds up to 1. Hmm? All the Xi adds up to 1. Yes. I did not focus on this yet. Okay, surely. In principle, I could say I invest less than I have. So their sum could be less than 1. Okay? But essentially, you say, I want to invest this quantity, so I take it to be 1. And this comes to what I want to do now, that is to build a model. Okay? So, if I choose to invest quantities x1, x2, xn, okay, let's follow Lato's suggestion and we take their sum to be equal to 1. Okay? Then, this is what I can, this is what I expect as a return. Okay? And this is the variance of my portfolio. Okay? How much it is likely to be close or far from the expected values in reality. So, the point is
the point from optimization point of view is the following. So let me write it here. I want to choose a portfolio. I want to select a portfolio. And these constraints are saying how I select a portfolio. Or XI between 0 and 1. The percentage of my investment in each stock I. They sum up to 1. And then what I would like. Let's say I would like to maximize.
I would like to be guaranteed of some level of return. Okay? Suppose I need at the end of the period to have to get some quantity capital R. Okay?
So I add another constraint. The sum of X of RI XI, which is what I expect to get, is greater or equal than some capital R, okay? That is how much I want to get, okay? And in this idea, this is what I would like to get, this is what I expect to get, and I would like in such a way that the variance, the risk of getting something else, something different from this quantity here, is minimized. So I would like to minimize this quantity here. Sum all over I of the sum all over j of Cij xij. And this is a perfect optimization model, no linear programming model. You want to minimize this function of the xi with these three, with this constraint, these other constraints, and this last family of constraints. Okay? I want to find the vector of xi which satisfies this constraint and provide the minimum value of this function all over this region here. Okay? So this solves exactly the kind of problems we studied. Okay? Which type of function is this one? You have the product of variables, two variables. So these are all second order terms. So this is a quadratic function. I want to minimize the quadratic function. And the constraints, let's just check the constraints. This is a linear constraint. Remember that Ri and the Ri are given coefficients, okay? And R is a fixed quantity I use. I want to get at least capital R. This is another linear constraint, and these are box constraints, so they are linear as well. I have just linear constraints, okay? So minimizing the quadratic function, all over linear constraints. Okay. And this was one of the very first models to perform a portfolio selection. And, well, you could reason in another fashion, let's say a dual fashion with respect to this. I could also say I accept some level of risk, and I wish to maximize my expected revenue according to that level of risk. Okay? So the problem would be different because I would ask this quantity to be less or equal than a level of risk as a constraint, and I would like to maximize this function. Okay? So that the rule of this and this switch, okay? And also the sign of this constraint. Okay? But let me just focus on this. Okay. Why? Why did I choose this? The other one would have a linear objective function and a quadratic constraint. Okay. That's not bad. Okay. But I prefer this so that we have just linear constraints. And we discussed, for instance, that the conditional gradient method by Frank Wolf, okay, are particularly suitable when we have linear constraints. Okay. So this is the model.
I turn this on. And I want to show you a concrete example.
Yes, still I don't get it why we have like the variance of one the variance of one variable, okay? It has two digits. If I consider just one, why has it j? If I should be equal to j, no?
No, because
I mean
the point is the following. The variance you are considering is not the variance of a single one. It's the variance of this random variable, which is the sum of all that arise with this coefficient. Okay? Because this is my actual random variable. Okay? That is what I expect to get. How much I invested times the corresponding revenue. Okay? So, when I make these products here, okay, you have this sum times this other sum, so the products come into play. Yeah. The point is the following. I don't simply... Let's see it this way. I invest money in different stocks. They are random, but somehow they are not completely independent. Right. So there is a correlation somehow in the way they both change, and that is given by this coefficient. Indeed, if they were completely independent, the probability tells us that this coefficient is zero. Okay. If you take this, how do you, so there's another point, how do you compute Ri's and Cij's, okay? You compute them from data, from estimates you can get through statistical techniques, okay? And it's very unlikely that these coefficients are zero, okay? Because, unlikely. Okay, they are not zero. They are never zero. They are stocks on the market, so they are somehow all correlated to the general trend of the market.
So I think I'm in the wrong directory here. So I built portfolio. I built some very simple example. Let's say I write this. Okay.
Okay, this is an example with true data. Okay?
Data go back to 2012. I got them online. These are, I think, around 20.
I'm not sure. I should get the data. I don't know, but they are around 20. They are 16. Okay, 16 exchange funds. Okay, they are a sort of stocks. From each one labeled with let's say an emerging country. Okay. So you can invest in these funds exactly as if they were stocks. So let's call them stocks. You invest in these stocks Each one of them is connected to one of these emerging markets, so they are labeled with the country. Okay? And here, I plotted them on a plane. On the x-axis, you have the risk, okay? Which is which is given by the variance of each of them, okay? This coefficient here. On the y-axis, you have the expected revenue, okay? So here you see, for instance, Brazil was high risk and bad revenue. Compared to a survey, high risk and high revenue. Okay. Here you have Taiwan, low risk and intermediate revenue. Here you have Indonesia, both the risk and the revenue are low. So sounds a bit of a safe investment. Okay, so these data were generated by taking into account the behavior of the market in 2012. I didn't do it. I took it from a database. And so let's suppose I decide to invest some amount of money in these emerging countries and in these exchange funds, okay, in these stocks. And I know all those data because I know the RIs and GIIs are all on here on the screen, but I also had the possibility to compute the covariance between all the pairs of stocks, and they are inside this matrix here, okay? And this matrix here is the matrix of the CIJs, okay? So yeah, I have all this data, so I can run this optimization problem. The only thing I have to choose is the level of revenue I want to get. So, indeed, if I get here, what I get asked here is which is the minimum level of revenue I want. Sorry, guys, it's in Italian, but this means minimum level of revenue. Okay? I wrote it a few years ago. So let's check the picture. The picture is this one. Let's say, okay, you see the range is roughly between 0 and 45. Let's say I'm not much greedy and I choose something like 20. Okay? I want to get at least 20. So let me write 20 and I want to risk the less that is possible. Okay? So I solved the problem. It's taking up some time. Okay. If I solve this optimization problem here, I did it through conditional gradient method by Frank and Wolf, I get this revenue, just a little bit more than 20, and this risk. Okay. So if I have a look at it in the plane, I get here. Okay. And this is the way I should invest my money to get that. 80% in the Taiwan stock, almost 19% in the Philippines, just a little bit in Brazil and Turkey, which were the two extremes here in my picture. Okay? So this is what this optimization model is telling me. Let me just get a bit technical about optimization. I performed the Frank Wolf, and this is the number of iterations. Okay. This is the number of iterations that were performed by the algorithm. 557. You didn't realize it, it just took a few seconds. Okay, a couple of seconds. But it's a pretty high number. You remember what we discussed the other week? This is a polyhedron with a few vertex. Okay? Because this is a unitary simplex. Okay? In R2 is just this like here, 1001. In R3, okay, you get, is the plane which cuts the orthon. It's a part of the plane cutting the positive orthon, and so on. Not many vertices. So, the drawback we saw last week, of course, okay? So you don't have many optimal solution of the sub-problem to choose from, okay? So you keep a switch in between a few vertices. Okay, and so you will make very short steps. Just to give you an idea, I made exactly the same problem, so I don't even give you the code, but changing the algorithm. The optimization algorithm is just this part here. Okay, rather than using the conditional gradient method by Frank Wolf, I used projected gradients. Okay, and the algorithm is a bit longer, but not long too much as well. So I can perform it. I can perform exactly the same stuff. Let's perform the same situation with the same expected minimal revenue. Okay, it was very fast. Let's just check. It was very fast, just 9 iterations. Okay, and you may notice something else as well. Yes? It's not exactly the same result. Okay. Really, here the revenue, the expected revenue is exactly 20, and the risk is a bit lower. Okay. And also the way you invested is, there's something wrong there. Huh? The sum is not equal to 1, so okay, let's drop it. My goal was to show you that the two algorithms perform differently, and that the final result is different here. I must have forgotten some. I think simply that writing the code yesterday, I forgot one here. Okay, so it does not sum up to 1. And the goal was to show you that the solutions are a bit different. Okay, and the reason why is given by the fact that we don't solve the algorithm when the mathematical condition of stop is met, but we solve a given some threshold, okay, of that. So in the projected gradient method, you check the difference between the starting point of the iteration and the projected point. Okay? Because mathematically they are the same, it's a stationary point. So you stop when the norm of the difference of the two vectors is very small. In the Frank-Wolf method, you stop when the optimization value of the subproblem is close to zero. It's very close to zero. And so they are different stopping criteria. Okay? So actually, you stop the algorithm at some point, and the solutions must be a bit different. Okay? So I try to fix this and give to you the right result. But I will show you the same thing on another example. So I suggest we take a 5 minutes break, and then I'll show you an example in a different area. No, sorry, I forget one thing here. Okay, let's suppose this is right. What does this mean? If I want to get at least 20, okay, if I minimize the risk, there should be nothing which has a lower risk and a higher revenue. Okay? So it is not possible to find a portfolio which gives me a point here. Okay? So if I run all these portfolios, if I run portfolios, let's say if I run portfolios for a number of expected revenues, so I start with this is 38.3, 38.8, and so on, I get different results, and if I plot them, where are they? Here. This is the point I'm getting. Okay? So when I get There is no possibility to find some solution which gives you points here. Okay? This is called also the efficient frontier. Okay? If you check all possible solutions, there's nothing up here. There will be solutions here. Okay, feasible solutions here, but nothing above here. Okay? So let's take a break, and then I'll show you an application in a different area. Diavolo.